What is up, guys? Welcome back to Come At Me, Bro. This is episode 28. I'm one of your hosts, Joey, joined alongside Drew.
Yo.
And Tyler.
Have you ever weighed yourself after taking a dump? It is a pleasant surprise.
I have, actually.
That is what the Bruins are doing right now while they wait for San Jose and the St. Louis Blues to finish their series, which will go to game 7 most likely. But I lost a pound, 1 pound and 2 ounces right in Joey's bathroom.
Did you leave it there for him to look at?
I did not. No. But like, gosh. I definitely weighed myself before. We'll make it up. We'll say 200 pounds. And I then weighed myself again, and it said 198.8. I was like, dang. I just lost a pound.
Was this your intention, or like, did you weigh yourself and then go to the bathroom and then think, huh, I wonder how much I weigh now?
Like, oh, no. I definitely saw the weight scale, and I was like, gosh, why do people just weigh themselves when, you know, they... I mean, when do you weigh yourself? When you take a shower? Is that what you usually do?
You're supposed to do it right when you wake up.
Yeah.
That's when you're like...
That's what I usually do. Really? I wake up, and I weigh myself before I get in the shower.
Does it give you any confidence during the day?
Sometimes.
Like... You ever, like, wake up and be like, damn, I'm fat?
Every morning. Gosh. No, I mean, I don't weigh myself regularly enough to... Yeah, I don't. I've only done it, like, at the beginning of the year or, like, before I do, like, a month-long diet or something like that or before I'm going to do a lot of exercise. I don't feel like I do it consistently, though.
I mean, I had a scale, but it was, like, one with, like, the little pointer. I feel like the thing was always like 5 pounds off.
Probably was.
I think it was miscalculated.
Wow. Speaking of 5 pounds off, since we already kicked it off with the NHL, we have the San Jose Sharks just about 5 points off. Also one game off at the moment. St. Louis leads the series 3-2. Does San Jose come back in this one, Tyler?
Yes, because they're a comeback team. They know when their backs are against the wall, which in this case they are, they're going to come back and go 3-3. And then they go back to – they actually have to do 3-3 at St. Louis, win that game away, and then win it at home to go to the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I mean, the whole series has been very tight here in this one. Game 5 was a blowout, but other than that, the previous 4 games were very tight. Both teams as well went to 7-game series previously. So I would not be surprised to see this one go 7. Drew.
Yeah, I'm thinking they come back and win. They're a team that thrives on adversity and kind of plays best when everything is on the line. So I think winning the couple early and getting up 2-1 kind of put them a little too at ease. And so I think now they're going to come out and fight like we expect the Sharks to fight. Because that's just who they are. That's always who they've been the last... Well, as long as I've been a hockey fan, basically, that's kind of always been their identity, is rough and tumble and get in your face and just get in the way and be big. That's who they are. So I think they'll play really physical and they're not going to go down easy. So I'm picking them still to win this series.
Now, whoever wins this series, do you think the Bruins are at a disadvantage or an advantage when coming to... when having this long period of rest, because they're pretty much going to get a week off. If they go to game 7, San Jose and St. Louis, they're going to get pretty much a week off and then play. Do you think it depends on the sport, or is it every sport that has advantage or disadvantage? So starting with the advantage, disadvantage, and then we can go to sports. Do you think the Bruins will have an advantage not playing for a week and resting up? Joey.
I would say with hockey, yes. I think you're going to have an advantage here. We saw it in a few previous matchups, though then again, you could argue the Islanders. The Islanders won very quickly and then got smashed by the Hurricanes. So it's come back and forth here and there. I think Boston's a team that's been around long enough. The coaching staff knows how to coach this team and knows how to keep them alive and practicing well for these situations. So for me, I don't think it impacts them too much. I do think if it's the Sharks, it's going to be a harder matchup for Boston. But I think if the Blues come through, Boston wins 4-2.
I'm going to disagree with you. And the reason for it is because, and it's not just sport, but I think hockey particularly is all about momentum. And you need the puck to bounce your way. You need the you need the puck to bounce your way a lot of the time and take the right hit off the stick. And so coming in, Sharks or the Blues, whoever wins it, most likely the Sharks, they're going to have a slight advantage, even though Boston's going to be well-rested. Sharks are still going to have that competitive edge to I think, compete with the Bruins. And I think the Bruins, as good as they are, and as they swept Carolina, I think Carolina just had a bad series. And so I think they kind of – they looked like they demolished the Hurricanes, but in a lot of those games they were competitive until Bruins somehow miraculously scored 5-6 goals in a game.
I mean, I think Carolina just ran out of steam. You take down the defending champions and the Capitals in a 7-game series. Then you go on to take on the Capitals' old coach with the New York Islanders in Trotz. You beat them 4-0. I mean, that's a ton of games right back-to-back in this intensive playoff environment. No one expecting Carolina to go that far. And here they are, moving two rounds out already, now up against Boston. I just feel like they ran out of momentum once they got into that series.
It's a short series. They destroyed the Islanders. Right? They played Islanders first.
Yeah, it was a, yeah, four, it was a sweep.
The second round, yeah.
The second round.
Yeah, they swept and then got swept.
Yeah, back-to-back sweeps.
But yeah. Remember, it was after an intensive series with the Capitals. I mean, that went 7 games. It was back and forth throughout most of those games.
It's like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it is.
Well, then
they
had the sweep,
yeah.
And then they had rest.
And look what happened.
Right. And the Islanders had rest before that. So it could be a rest thing. It could be. It very, very well could be. Overall, though, I think Boston's a better team. It's tough, though. So when I looked at this board overall at the beginning, I said Capitals, and then the winner of the Sharks and Golden Knights would go all the way. So I thought it was going to be those two matchups. Capitals fell, then I picked the Islanders. The Islanders fell. I have sucked on the east side. But on the west, I really like the Sharks team. I think they're competitive. The big thing with the Sharks, though, I don't think they win out cleanly. I think if the Sharks go all the way, it's going to be a 7-game series, or at least a 6-game series. I don't think they can win in a 4-0. I really don't think they can win 4-1, anything like that. I really think it has to go a full distance series for the Sharks to come out because they're such a gritty team. I think if Boston pulls out an early lead, it's going to be hard for the Sharks to find the momentum.
Sorry, I'm looking at Buffalo Bills stuff.
Of course you are. I'm just going to throw it out there. I think Boston in particular getting a break is good for them because they are such a veteran-heavy team. Their goalie and they're kind of their top guys like Bergeron. Like, they're a little older, and I think rest is good for them. Just because they're old, but because they're veterans, they know how to just flip the switch and turn it on. So I think them getting to rest up and work out some of those minor injuries that every hockey player gets from a series, no matter how good you do in the series, you get beat up. So I think them getting to rest some of those small injuries and then getting to come out and flip the switch, I think is actually really good for them. I wouldn't say that for every team. Like you said, like a team like the Hurricanes, I think getting a sweep was bad for them because they are a team that's built on momentum and on attack, 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 and that break really reset their mentality, and I think that's what cost them against a veteran-powered team like the Bruins. So it's definitely depends on the team and depends on the sport, but I think in this particular case, the rest is going to be good for them to handle either. The Sharks or the Blues. I think they'll handle the Blues better than the Sharks. I think the Sharks are going to be, would be very much like playing a mirror, playing themselves. But I think with the Blues, they match up with them really well and can kind of just overpower them and impose their will upon them, if you will.
Right. And I think going back to what you were saying about the younger players, in particular, I think younger players or teams that are almost seen as underdogs need the constant momentum. They want to keep moving forward. They don't want these sweeps. They want these gritty games to come out if you want to keep that streak going. And I think that's what happened with Carolina, that clean sweep and then that pause. But like you said, with Boston, with some of these other more veteran teams that have been around, especially the organization of Boston, they've been here so many times already. I feel like once that organization knows, once those players being on that veteran level know, it's okay to take those breaks, to rest those players up. We saw it with the Spurs as well in the NBA before. Just that ability to rest out some of those older players back in a decade ago, times where they could just build them back up, get them back into their shot maneuvers. All they need to do was practice here and there. I think that's the same kind of thing here with the Bruins. So I think they will do well. Like you said, I have to agree. I think the Sharks are a lot harder matchup for them. I could see that going seven games. Unless Boston gets up 2-0, then I think it becomes a little bit more difficult for them. The Blues, though, I think I do see Boston winning that one out pretty cleanly. 4-2, I'll say.
Okay, I'm already sick of talking about Boston, but I have a question. Would you ever...
the Bills fan over here.
Would you ever date someone who is a rivalry?
Well, it's funny you say that. As a hardcore Tennessee Vols fan, found out fairly early on in my relationship with Christina that she considered herself to be a Florida Gator fan, who is our sincerest rival, but she had a very good reason for it, being that her uncle was the dean of the law school at the University of Florida.
That's not a good reason.
That's a fantastic reason.
Sounds like an excuse.
So that was
to like the Gators because my uncle's the dean of students. What? Come on.
Dean of the law school.
Whatever. Same thing. It's all bologna and cheese. School's a school. They pay money for it. But that doesn't even count. I'm talking about like someone who's like an intense, like riot, like knows the game. Like, I mean, I'm sure Christina knows football, but like she's not a diehard. You know, everyone do the little Gator dance. You know, with your little hands.
You don't
kind
know
of
that.
Person. I don't, but I can assume. I can assume.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I just.
I can assume the way, you know, I'm not going to see her down the street going to a Gator game, flapping her hands like a Tweety Bird, clapping them together like a Gator job, but she just likes the Gators.
Mostly she just likes telling me that she likes the Gators to,
exactly.
To, you know, needle me. But
so if she was a serious fan, like she was a diehard Gators fan, would you consider dating her?
I mean, that's hard to ask at this point since they're married and this not being the case. I mean, Tyler, back to you. If you say Buffalo and New England, let's say your girlfriend or your wife is, let's say girlfriend at the time, is super, super into New England. She wears her Brady jersey every Sunday. Do you continue on in that relationship?
No.
I feel like that's one of those things that would have come out very, very early on in your interactions, and it probably would have slammed the door, but... It depends on a few different things. I'm not going to say much more because I don't want to get myself in trouble. But
what? You're already married. You're in trouble every other day.
There is probably, if you wanted to chart it out, there's probably a hotness level that makes it acceptable that they like your rival.
Please,
that's all I'm saying.
Please, and please. I mean, I know your wife's not listening.
It's just like on How I Met Your Mother. Barney Stinson has his hot to crazy ratio. Like, if they're this X level of crazy, they've got to be at least the corresponding level of hot. Otherwise, it's not worth it. So it's kind of the same thing. The attraction and the like that you have for this person has to be at least the same level as their fandom for this other team.
Boston is just a turnoff.
So you've really got to like this person for you to want to stay with them.
They could be the perfect person. I am not going to marry them.
Boston's a little wide right for you, Tyler.
wide out of here. It's gone. No way. Joey, I mean, what about you? I mean, you like Man City. I think that's the only team you like. Okay, if...
I have the Phillies. Okay.
Yeah, the Phillies.
Okay. Who's the rivalry of the Phillies?
The Nationals, Braves. Probably. Yeah, the Braves. Braves. I mean, everyone in the NL East, I feel like, is somewhat competitive, except the poor Marlins right now.
Yeah.
All right, well, so... What about?
I'll give you Man City. Man City, I would say Man United.
Okay, yeah.
Not about that.
That's an easy one. But so if your wife liked Man United, was a diehard Man United fan.
I mean, me personally, I'd be perfectly fine with that.
No, you wouldn't.
No, I think I would. Wouldn't. I kind of like the competitive edge. I kind of like having rival teams from people because it kind of brings out a little bit of spirit of rivalry. It kind of makes things fun.
I'm talking about a relationship. I'm not talking about rivalry teams.
Well, I mean, what? They're going to play Sunday morning. I'm asleep Sunday morning.
No, you're not. You wake up at 4 a.m. to watch,
I watch the
stupid
VODs,
Overwatch.
Bro.
You watch Vietnam nonsense. I know what you do. I watch you.
I don't think that's the end of the thing for me. I'm also not like a huge, huge team follower. I usually follow leagues in general. I like watching all the transitions, the waiver plays, the draft analysis. I'm more of a logistics type of person, so I root for teams here and there. I follow them on the daily, but I'm not, I don't know, that to me is not like a huge, huge turnoff. I think it's more like a fun rivalry between the two.
Yeah, I can do it. It's not in me.
You're also a Bills fan.
I am.
I think that's enough, like, heartfelt sympathy needed.
It's just not, I don't think it would work. It'd just be too much. I mean, I have a friend who's, he's not in this situation, but he asked me about it, and so that's why I just brought it up, just to see what you guys would think. But yeah, there's going to be a poll, holler at the poll. Would you date the opposite, the rivalry team?
Yeah, I'm not sure I could date an Eagles fan.
Oh, they can't be that bad.
Oh, really, it's just Philadelphia fans in general, but...
Oh, yeah, thanks, Drew. You're a hater.
I got you.
I mean, okay, don't get me wrong. Some of these Phillies fans are crazy. Some of these people in Philadelphia in general are crazy.
And they killed that one
robot. That little robot that was making its way around the world.
I know, that was so terrible. First they throw, they boo Santa Claus, and they destroy a harmless little robot.
Yep, climb poles.
He's just trying to learn to take over the world.
Poor Bryce Harper. He got into his first game and already got his boos coming his way.
He could have homered in every at bat in his first home game and he would have gotten booed.
Yep. There's always got to be that one, you know. But yeah, that's Philly fans for you. Over in the NBA, though, Philly has
I have one more fun story to cheer for.
Tyler, what's your story?
So the same friend, I have to make a shout out for him. Same friend, Tilson. He has a dog. Dog is named Bryce after Bryce Harper.
Oh,
and I said, oh, man, that's great. You know, this is 2012. He got a dog named Bryce Harper. I said, well, now that he's at the Phillies, what are you going to do? You going to change his name? He said, no, I'm going to put him down.
I can hear Tilson saying that.
Oh,
and then he just walked away. I was like, oh, no more dog anymore.
Woof, woof.
Bow wow.
That's hilarious. I miss him.
Okay, we have no more Bryce anymore for Philly, and they also have no more 76ers as we move on to the NBA playoffs. Over on the West, Golden State up 3-0 over Portland. I know I predicted a 4-2 in favor of Golden State. It's looking like Golden State might sweep this one. Drew, do you think they close it out 4-0?
Yeah, there's zero reason to think that they won't, even with Iguodala probably not playing in Game 4. They've just got the system figured out to stifle Dame and CJ. It's awful. They at least looked a little more competitive in this last game, but I don't think they're going to do enough to even take one game out of this at this point. So it's not even fun.
Yeah, playoff basketball has not been that great for the last couple of years. I feel like we had two good series so far.
Are you kidding me? No, not several years. It's never been good. No, let me take that back. NBA season has never been good. Playoffs have been all right.
Yeah, the Rockets series was actually really good.
Yeah, the Rockets series, whenever LeBron's in the playoffs for the last, I don't know, 8 seasons, except for this year, there's conversations restarting because it's LeBron putting everyone on his back, doing crazy things as usual. This year it's Kawhi, who's doing crazy things in the East, but it's being overpowered by the fact that Durant's out and the Warriors are still whooping butt. So, I mean, now Toronto's getting their butt whooped by Milwaukee and the Greek Freak. But,
Giannis.
Yeah. What do we call him 2 weeks ago? The feta cheese or whatever, man?
Oh, my
gosh. That's what you called him, yeah.
Yeah, let's forget that.
The feta cheese monster. The feta monster. So the NBA season has never been good. Playoffs have been good when LeBron's in. And he was in the last couple of years, except for this year.
I not to get us too off track from talking about what's going on, but I saw the best story today with Draymond Green. Who I'm not a huge fan of Draymond Green. He kind of gets on my nerves, but he does play really good defense, and I do enjoy like some of his plays. But he told this great story where he was practicing like basketball with his son, who I don't know the age of his son, but he's young. And he said the kid kept flopping, and he had to like set him down and have a conversation with him, telling him not to do that, and told him, I can't let you watch the NBA anymore. Because they're apparently just teaching his, like, whatever 6-year-old son to flop, and it's driving him crazy.
That's great.
I think it's hilarious.
Look at thyself, Mr. Floppy to Flop Flop.
I hate that. I mean, it's the same thing in soccer. Like, a lot of soccer travel programs nowadays, that's, like, working in recreation, that's a huge topic because so many kids are learning how to flop, And then you also have certain teams, like with coaches encouraging kids to slide tackle at young ages.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Now, I'm going to be honest. I was a flopper.
Yeah, you still are.
No. I've changed my ways, but I was a flopper. But see, the difference between me flopping is that I actually got the call, meaning it was an actual foul. Now, it wasn't like a very, you know, aggressive foul, but I made sure.
Right. You exaggerated a foul. You didn't invent a foul.
I didn't say, oh, look at me, I got destroyed. But I said, hey, look, you know, this guy, I can't go anywhere. I'm going down because this guy has literally fouled me. Yeah. And what's the difference between soccer and NBA is that there's an actual foul if you do flop. There's a yellow card with it, or, mm-hmm. you know, an indirect free kick going the other way. So in the NBA, imagine if they included that as maybe a travel or maybe a foul, and you get two shots or technical. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if someone who flops or fakes, like getting hit in the face with like a finger or something, they, you know, that person who supposedly fouled them gets a one-shot technical and the ball. Would you be opposed to that rule?
I mean, I don't know if they'll go directly to technicals, but I would not be surprised if we see a foul coming in later on. Like, just as a normal foul, as they add up, then you get the shots later down the road. But I could see them adding it as a normal foul, not quite a technical, unless it's crazy exaggerated.
I mean, they wanted to prevent... I mean, if you're trying to prevent this from happening, what do? You give the person the other ball on the foul line. I mean, they did that with the rule, you know, you can't stop a fast break. You know, the person's not shooting, but the person will get a foul or a technical foul, whatever it is. I forget what the rule is. But, you know, now you include the one shot, or is it one shot in the ball or two shots in the ball, something along those lines. So I could see them doing it if they're trying to prevent flopping.
So, okay. If we're going to do a rule like that, do you think it has to be pretty much almost a no contact flop, or like a very light contact flop? Or do you think just a... like one of the plays that you were saying, like where you got fouled, but you took it a lot harder than it actually was, would count or not?
Well, see, when I did flop, I would.
You
would
have been fouled.
It was a foul.
You just exaggerated it.
Yes, I just, you know.
I think it's got to be when there's no foul. Like you see the
ones
where guys.
Yeah, I think if you're going to go technical, it's almost got to be like no contact or
barely any
contact. Like where
guys swing their arms and don't make contact at all, and they throw their faces
back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So that would be your one shot, and then you get the ball. Not the person who flopped, but the other team, of course.
Right.
Are there any flops in hockey?
I'm sure they do some sort of... they do some more exaggeration. You don't see it as much where they fake it because a guy being down on the ice...
You know who the worst floppers are? Football players. Football players are the worst floppers. Usually, why?
If by football you mean soccer, yes.
No, I'm talking about like... NFL, because they only have flop when the ball is not, like, when there's no contact being, like, when the play is not even on the field. That's when they try to flop. Because they look like they get poked in the eye, or they get pushed, and they, like, you know, exaggerate themselves being flinged across. Like, look, he pushed me 500 feet across the field.
He shoved me so hard, and it's like he looked at you. Like.
And so it becomes like an unsportsmanlike conduct for the other team. But those are the worst floppers. They have no idea how to flop, because you think... a little push is going to push a 300-pound man over.
Right. This is a quality over quantity discussion, as it were. Like this doesn't happen on every play in the NFL, but when it happens, it's pretty egregious. Yeah,
exactly.
I agree.
Worst floppers.
The NFL and flopping. Yeah, soccer I think is the worst to me, in my opinion. Like, okay, NFL is not the highest quality of floppers, but soccer, you look at someone like a Cristiano Ronaldo, they've almost made it into an art of flopping.
I hate him.
Some of the flops he has in game, there's like barely any contact, there could be no contact, but because he's a superstar, he's gotten a lot of the calls to go in his way, which is the part I hate the most. So yeah, for me, soccer is the sport of flopping, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, he misses the penalty kick or free kick anyways.
Even after a signature stance?
And
that like flat back thing he does.
He like spreads his legs.
What?
Like wide part. Like
you should look up a Cristiano PK sometime. Or not PK.
Free kick.
A free kick.
Yeah,
he has like
this
signature like eagle stance thing he does.
Eagle stance.
That's weird.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's unique. Good old Cristiano.
I hate him.
Why is that?
Because he's a terrible person.
Why is he a terrible person?
I don't really want to get into it at the moment, but...
It
involves legalities and avoiding being extradited to the United States to face judgment for a certain assault.
That's right.
So
I forgot about that. That is definitely gone quiet. I remember that.
And everybody loves him, and nobody talks about it, but, you know, if there was anything like that in an American sport... everybody would be talking about what a terrible person they were and call out any team that was interested in him, let alone paid a record amount of money to transfer him to their team. So I don't want to hear anything about the rest of the world talking about America. And that's my rant.
Well, the NFL, I mean, the NFL has gotten away with some things. We look at certain players in the Cowboys.
I'm not disagreeing.
Now on the Browns. So now the Kansas City.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a ton of them, but there are also, I mean, I feel like the U.S. has done a good job, or the NFL has done a good job of at least trying to indict those processes, whether it be through suspensions and holding players out until their court cases are heard. I feel like Drew said, there's a lot of social media pressure on teams as well. Like, if certain cases come out, a lot of people will pressure those teams and any prospective teams not to go for that player as well. So I think Drew has a good case here. I feel like the U.S. has done a decent job in that area. With that being said, a lot of people have still walked or made their way back to the league when they probably shouldn't have, or should have been tried a little bit harder. But at the same point, I feel like we're at least moving in that direction.
Anyway, so I don't like him. I don't like watching. I don't like his style of play either. I just prefer Messi.
I do too, but Messi needs to pay his taxes over in Barcelona.
Yes, he does. Well, he did. Messi got resolved, and he paid his stuff. He should have just paid it to begin with.
Right. He's got plenty of money to pay those taxes.
He really does.
Should not be a problem, but it has also been a taxing NBA playoffs on Kawhi as well. Toronto down by 2 currently to the Milwaukee Bucks. Can Leonard come back in this one, Drew? Do you see Toronto clawing their way back? They're in a game right now. I don't actually know who's leading. Last I checked, it was pretty close. Does Milwaukee go 3-0 here, or does Toronto pull one back to give themselves a little bit more life in the series?
I think Toronto will probably win this one. Let's see. It's a four-point game with 7 minutes left. Toronto's up by 4. So it's their first game at home in this series. They've been a little down. I think a home crowd is exactly what they needed. 4 points is nothing in an NBA game, you know. And here in just a second, I could look and they could be down by 10. But I think they'll definitely win this game. They're too good to get swept, even by a team like the Bucks, who are just a fantastic team. That being said, I still think the Bucks are going to win the series, especially after just that incredible start that they had. But the Raptors aren't going to make it easy on them. They're definitely going to fight. They're going to win this game. I won't be shocked if they win the next game too, but they're not going to win a game away from home, and they may not even win every game at home. So,
yeah, the dinosaurs are going extinct this series. Now they're not going to get swept. They're going to go 4-2 because they're going to, even though they're going to lose
a clean 4-2.
A clean 4-2. That's right. They're going to win the next. They're going to win the next. After this game going 3-0 down, they're going to win the next two, and then Milwaukee's going to finish them. But the Warriors, as I said before, are going to sweep Portland.
So you think Toronto wins 2 in a row here? You think it goes 2-2 in the series?
No, I say the Bucks are going to win this game, and then the Raptors, the Dinosaurs are going to win 2 straight. 3-2, and then Bucks are going to finish them off 4-2.
Okay, so you're going to give Toronto the second game at home, and then they're going to take a game off the Bucks in Milwaukee?
Correcto mundo.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't see that happening. So I think I originally predicted a 4-2 in this series. I could actually see it going 4-1 now. Now Milwaukee up by 2. They easily could close this game out, it sounds like, being 4 points with 7 to go. So I would not be surprised to see Milwaukee come out of this 3-0. Then I think they just easily close this one down in the next two. So I think my original projection of 4-2 might be a little too giving in the favor of the Raptors. And then I'm guessing we're all taking Golden State to close out over there on the west side, correct?
Over Portland, yeah.
Tyler, any objections there? You said Golden State as well, right?
I've said Golden State since the beginning of playoffs.
Okay, so let's just assume for a minute then the Milwaukee Bucks close out the series against the Toronto Raptors in 4 or 5, maybe even 6 games. They're up against Golden State. Do we see them standing a decent chance taking down the defending champions?
No.
Absolutely.
Next question.
You do. Okay, Drew, why?
Well, namely, Giannis. He's such a unique player. I don't think a guy like Draymond Green can quite guard him. If they get Kevin Durant, KD could guard him. But that's if KD's at 100% and is willing to strictly guard the freak. But I don't think they have any one player who really matches up with him. And by having that mismatch and them trying to rotate and figure out who to cover him, it's going to let the other guys have a chance. This is going to sound controversial, and I don't mean it, but it's very much the same issue they had with Harden. No one on Golden State could quite match up with James Harden. You had guys who could slow him down some. But the reason the Rockets made it such a good series is they tried so hard to figure out Harden that it let the other guys on that roster do things. Yeah, Harden was still obviously their primary scorer. That's just who he is and what that team is. But because he creates that tricky matchup, it lets the other guys take advantage of that uncertainty and those rotations and that who's covering him now mentality that they have to have. And they're such a balanced team there that if he creates any sort of uncertainty at all, there is someone who will take advantage of it and make it competitive. I would still pick the Warriors to win if I was betting, but I won't be, well, I will be shocked if the Bucks win, but the Bucks could do it. The Bucks can at least push them to a game 6 or 7.
That doesn't mean the Bucks are going to win.
But they could, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's like Houston. Yeah, and Houston could go game 7. They're not going to win.
They definitely have a better chance, obviously, than Portland. They'll definitely do a better showing than Portland.
I mean, I said this last week. I mean, Denver had the best chance of beating
Golden State,
without a doubt. And they flopped. They failed. They lost. They got sucker punched right in the belly.
They let us down.
Sucker punched in the belly. Wow, that's quite the image.
I haven't had that in a while.
Oh, we can change that later tonight.
No, we're not doing that tonight.
You could do it right now.
Ayo, sucker punch live.
Oh,
yeah,
gosh.
Yeah, I'm listening.
There's a YouTube video. Too bad we don't have our sound effects.
Yeah, too bad we turned the camera off.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a good series overall. I still think Golden State wins out pretty cleanly. With that being said, Milwaukee, I think, is the best team throughout this whole tournament, in at least my humble opinion. I think they're even a better matchup than the Rockets. I think they will push them a bit. A big lot of this goes on that KD injury, though. If KD comes back, I think Golden State wins out by 2. If he's not there, I think Milwaukee can push them if they get a few games here and there, particularly if they steal one at home. If they can take a game off the Warriors at home, I think that gives Milwaukee a little bit of an edge to move on in. They'll have to do some adjusting up against that lineup, but it's going to come down to the supporting cast, too. They're going to push so much to stop Giannis. If he goes off on the first game, the second game, they're really going to have to push even more. It's going to come down to that supporting cast of Milwaukee. It's possible. They're not a bad supporting cast. You have some veterans there. You have some younger players there. They're pretty well chalked as far as talent goes, but you're up against the All-Stars in Golden State. They have so much talent on that team. They've been around. They've been here so many times before in recent years. Golden State knows how to get it done, and for me, that veteran experience on top of all of that talent is what's going to finish them off. I would love to see Milwaukee take the 7 games, though. I would love to see Milwaukee win it, to be honest, partly for the integrity of the NBA as well. It gets a little boring watching as a viewer when the same team seems to win the championship every year. And when you're watching 80-some games in a season, like over and over, and I'm watching all these games, and it's just, okay, Golden State looks like they're going to win again. Golden State's going to take the championship again. I just love seeing contenders come up against them, and I think Milwaukee, if they're able to close out the series with Toronto, is probably the best competitor for the Golden State Warriors, at least in this year's finals.
Golden State's going to win. And I don't think this makes the NBA bad.
But it makes it less exciting. Like, why am I going to watch all these games throughout the season if I already feel like I know who's going to be in the finals?
Right. Because then you have to, I mean, you may witness Golden State get upset.
Yeah, but I'd rather watch that on a replay of some highlight reel somewhere. Like, I just don't feel like there's that much, like, why am I going to invest in something when I already feel like I know the end result so early on?
Because you want to see if they get upset. I mean, this is where team, now, this doesn't happen in the NBA. I mean, it does. This year it has not. I mean, every I think top seed has won. That's why we're at 1-2, 1-2.
1-3. Denver was actually the 2 in the West.
That's right. Except for the Western Conference. So, I mean, that's kind of an upset there, even though Denver was
a better team. It's small,
yeah. It's very, very small. But, you know, it's going to make your world when the Bucks do win, even though they're not, if they do. And you're not going to see it on the replay because it's going to be game 7 before the Bucks get to win the NBA Finals. So you're going to see that game and get excited about that. Unfortunately, it's the last, you know, game. But people get excited about game 7s when you have a 1-4 or a, you know, 2-6. I think it's possible.
Or you get excited when it's LeBron versus the Warriors for the third time.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
As annoyed as people were, that was an exciting matchup. Granted, the last time it didn't play out very well, but the two times before that, they were great series.
And so, and partly because Cleveland won one of those series.
Right. Warriors blew that 3-1 lead. Like.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, I think we all feel like Milwaukee has a chance here, but Golden State's most likely going to close it out. But I'm excited for the finals. I think the fact Milwaukee has made it here, Milwaukee hasn't been upset. They've looked like a great team all season. I think they really deserve to be in the finals this year. And because of that, I'm a little bit more excited. But then you also have to look at the competition. We talked about it last week. The East is so much weaker than the West. Would Milwaukee be a top team in the West? I really don't know. I feel like they would still be top three, in my opinion. But at the same point, again, we don't really know because the record is based off of these East teams, and there's so much fewer potency in the East as compared to the West. Any other thoughts on the NBA Finals as we close out our semifinal matches here for the conferences?
After Tuesday, even the calendar goes WTF.
Okay. On that note, we will wrap up this episode. Guys, we are going to touch on the NBA draft lottery next week. We're going to break down how that whole thing works.
Because no one knows how it works.
What the picks are going to look like in our opinion. So we'll be touching on that next week. In the meantime, find this episode as well as all of our other content on Twitter at CAMB Podcast. You can also find us and shoot us emails as well at cambpodcast@otnmedia.org. Last but not least, if you'd like to support the show and everything we do here at OTN, do so at patreon.com/OTN. Thanks again for listening, guys, and we'll catch you next week. This podcast is part of the Overtime Network. Get more at overtimenetwork.com.